praise God.
Well, glory to God. I'm glad y'all are here this morning. I'm sure y'all have got all kinds of festive activities prepared. Everybody through with your Christmas shopping? We've got a little bit of time left. If you would, get your Bibles out. And if you'd go to the book of Luke, chapter 2. I want to read from the Christmas story here. Verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house in the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. She brought forth her first son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in the manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, church, I want to just bring out a few things here this morning to you and try to encourage you a little bit about Christmas and not losing the spirit of Christmas. My wife says that, you know, like sometimes I get to be the Grinch. You know, because a lot of times I get overwhelmed with the things about Christmas because I always want everything to be perfect. And how many of y'all know we don't live in a perfect world? Hello? Now imagine this story here. You're talking about the Son of God is about to be born. And look at all the problems he's got. You got the government involved and everything going on. Can I have an amen? I mean, do you realize this? He had to pick up from where he was and because of the order of the Roman government and go over to Bethlehem. Now, I mean, I don't know if women were any different in that day than they are now, but it just seemed to me that if I went to my pregnant wife, who was about to deliver anyway, told her she's going to have to get on the back of a donkey and ride about 50 miles over there to another town, I would probably not be too popular. Are y'all with me? Have you ever thought about what if? You know, y'all play a what if game. Well, you can get in trouble playing the what if game, you know. But I look at things and I think about how many events that take place in the Bible if the person would have just thrown down and said, I ain't going. What would have happened? What if Mary had said, there ain't no way I'm getting on the back of that donkey. I ain't going. I don't care what you say. And Joseph said, you know, you're a strange one anyway. You've had this child and I've never known you. And you say you've had an encounter with God, but how do I know? I mean, talk about a reality show going on. Right? Can you imagine what Mary's face looked like when they get to the inn after riding a donkey, going through all of that, and she gets there and there's no room? I told you to call ahead. Right? I mean, would Joseph just, I mean, you know, he's got to have been like the most patient man on the face of the earth because, I mean, can you imagine if that was you in that situation? You've gone through all that, your wife, you know, putting the pressure on you, riding the donkey. Can't you find a smoother path? I mean, my God. What did you get? The roughest riding donkey that there was? Jiggling along the on that little burro, you know? To get there to find there's no room? You know, don't you know he's like, yes, we need a room for night. There's no, it always make the innkeeper look like a bad guy. It was full. He wasn't a bad guy, just overcrowded. But Joseph says, I'm sorry, there's no room for here. And don't you know, he didn't want to look at Mary. You know, to look over at her face at that moment, the look of the disgust. Yeah, but there's a barn around back. Just shoo the animals out of the way. It'll be okay. My wife's about to have a baby. Well, you know, I don't know what to say. The animals have the barn, have babies out in the barn all the time, I guess. Your wife can too. This is the Son of God. Can you imagine the doubt and unbelief that had to have been in both Mary and Joseph at this point? Because if supposedly they're birthing the Son of God into the world, and they can't even get a room. I don't know about y'all, but see, I'm the kind of guy that I like things to run smooth. And when I first got saved, I thought that because now I was in the kingdom, things should run smooth. And I remember standing there and saying, Lord, come on, man, can't you do something? I mean, have you fallen off the throne or what? Can't you get something going here right for me? And I wasn't even about to birth the Son of God into the world. Are y'all with me here? It's so easy in life to go get distracted with everything going on. It's so easy in life to get caught up with, well, what about this and the what about that? And well, why did this happen? And what if that? And why did this do this? And what is that? To get so caught up that you miss the birth of the Savior. Hello? That is, when I read this, when I look at the night, it's like, man, these guys were amazing. That they didn't kill each other. They didn't give up. You see, Jesus had to be born there because he had to fulfill the prophecy. Nobody, you know, other than Joseph and them being directed by an angel about this, they had to totally and completely trust that God was had hold of their life and was getting them from point A to point B. And what happens in life is we get to that point where we don't like the distance between point A and point B, and we keep thinking something's wrong, God's doing something with. Sometimes there's just no room in the inn. See, my mind says, surely God could have caused one of the other people that was having a room that night to be late, or, you know, their donkey tripped and hurt its hoof, and so he couldn't make it on time, and they had to stop and get another donkey, so he didn't show up, so therefore God arranges so that as they got there, there was a cancellation, and Mary walks up and he says, oh, you're so lucky there's one room left, right? I mean, he's God. Then, let's read on here, okay? Verse 8, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be all the people. For there is born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. They will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And suddenly there was of the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men. So can you imagine this scene? All the shepherds are out there just doing their flock watching, coyote hunting, whatever. Okay? And they're just out there doing their business. Guys around a campfire. You can imagine what kind of conversation was going on or whatever was taking place. And all of a sudden, boom, the whole world, whole sky opens up and angels are flying around. And I mean, don't you know just that story, them coming to town and saying, man, we're out there and a bunch of angels flying around and everything. And everybody's like, man, what have you been snorting? Right? I mean, come on. Let's just make this real. I mean, if your friends came to you and said, man, we were out there the other night coon hunting and the whole sky opened up, angels flying around everywhere, said glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill towards all men. You'd be saying, dude, I mean, am I right? Y'all are looking at me like I'm nuts. Like I'm taking the holy story and tearing it all up, you know? I'm trying to show you this morning about what faith it took for these people, these characters, of the story that we take for Christmas, and how much real faith was involved in their lives to walk through the problems, the obstacles, the obstructions, the things that were in their way to just come to the day that we celebrate as Christmas. I want to tell you something, church. The world hasn't changed. It's still the same today. There's obstacles. There's obstructions. There's hindrances. There's everything in the world to keep you from walking and serving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. There's every trick, every cunning craftiness of men. You can get over fighting the government. You can get over fighting this, fighting that. I'm not saying they're right. I'm just telling you the way it is. Hello? Nothing's new under the sun. Y'all with me? The story could have just as easily happened today as it did 2,000 years ago. Same problems, same situations, same scenarios. See, I tend to be one of those people that have to watch myself because I can get pretty frustrated pretty quick when things don't start working right. But a lot of times I've had to learn that through the obstacles of life, God's trying to show me something. I just don't like learning. I just kind of want it all to work. Just follow along and it just works. You see, you can get so stirred up and so bent out of shape of the things going on around you that you miss the whole birth of Jesus. You don't want to miss Jesus in this season. The story goes on and it says, verse 15, and so it was that when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem to see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and they found Mary and Joseph and a babe lying in a manger. A manger is a feed trough. All right, let's just get it straight. I fed my sheep this morning, have a few sheep, fed them this morning. You know what I had to go do to the feed trough? Had to go turn it over. Why'd I have to turn it over? No, it wasn't rain. Y'all getting drift of what I'm talking about here? All right, you know. That's what Jesus was born in. Can you kind of, by looking at this, can you kind of get an idea that God doesn't think like we think? The Son of God is being born into the world in a feed trough. Not in a palace. Not in a gold crib. He was born in a feed trough for the simple reason, I believe, that God wanted to show the world that Jesus was for all of us. That he literally was the feed for the world. That he literally was a man that was so common that he could come into each and every one of our lives. That there was no way that the enemy could come into our lives and tell us that we've done too much wrong. We're not good enough. We're not of proper stature. We're not this or we're not that. That Jesus was available for each and every one of us. At just the mention of his name, that the Son of God would be there on your side. Wow. That's pretty amazing. That's pretty amazing that God would do that for us. Christianity, when you look at it as just a religion based upon or compared to other religions, it's the only religion you can find that God brought himself down to our level. Okay? Or even lower than our level would want to be. To come into our lives. So he goes through here and he says, now when they had seen him, they made it widely known, saying, this which is told concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept these things and she pondered them in her heart. And then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all these things that they had heard and seen as it was told. Now, if you would, go over to the Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter 9. In Isaiah chapter 9, if you look down at verse 6, Isaiah was prophetically speaking here. And he says, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful." Everybody say Wonderful. That's a great word to describe Jesus. Huh? Wonderful. You say, well, how, you see, Christianity and religion has gotten it all wrong. They've made it all out of works. But when you describe Jesus and Jesus in your life, a word that should be about, well, you're a Christian, you love Jesus, yes, and how is it? Well, that's wonderful. You know, you don't hear wonderful, the word wonderful, much anymore. I say, oh, it's good, it's great, it's fine. And then that word can be used one way or the other. Guys, if you ask your wife how things going, she says, fine, that does not mean good. That's the other fine. Okay, so, but wonderful. I looked up the word wonderful in the Hebrew to see what it means. You know what it means? Wonderful. Marvelous, spectacular, wonderful. It's a great word to describe how Jesus is supposed to be in our lives. A counselor. How many of y'all ever needed a counselor? Hey, listen to me. I need a counselor all the time. I need somebody to keep me out of trouble. I need somebody to say, don't do that. Hello? I don't know about y'all. I have to have a counselor at all times, an advisor that I need to turn to and say, this is what I'm thinking of doing. And he's like, don't do that. Don't do that. Okay. He says, wonderful counselor, a mighty God. Listen to me. I don't need a wimpy God. I'm not trying to be ugly here. I'm just stating what to me was obvious. That there was an article here a while back, it's been a good while back, about over in India where one of their gods is an elephant, and that the people would take milk to the elephant, and then if you put your milk glass or whatever up there close to the elephant, and if it drank the milk, then you know that means that you were going to be blessed or whatever. And I was watching all these people just huddled up or trying to get this little, it was a little statue to drink milk. And I just hit me as like, I think I need a bigger God than that. You know, with me? I think I got a few more problems in life that I think I need a bigger God than a wooden elephant that drinks milk. I mean, it's not appealing to me at all. I mean, obviously wood's going to soak up liquid anyway, so it's kind of like, I'm just saying, when I read this and he says he's going to be wonderful, a counselor, a mighty God, that's what I'm talking about. Victorious. I'm talking about whatever your obstacles are in life, whatever the things are that you need to overcome, that you have a God who's mighty enough with you and on your side that was willing to give his own son for you to deliver you to get to the other side. Hello? That there's no river too wide, no river too deep. There's no mountain too high. There's not anything that God can't get you out of if you just want to get out of it. Hello? No matter what this world's thrown at you, no matter how many hard licks that you've had in life. Obviously, by now you figured out that this world is not fair. Obviously, by now you figured out that sometimes you can do everything right and still have issues, problems, things come your way. But I'm glad to know that I serve a God who is a mighty God that can heal my heart, that can fix my crazy thinking, that can take care of my situations. It's amazing that God, without any great big show of lightning, great big thundering storm, can come into your heart and touch you and heal you when you've been brokenhearted. And all he wants you to do is to believe him and ask him. Wow, that's a mighty God. That's a mighty God that can come into your life. Y'all with me? That's the Jesus that we're worshiping and we're excited about this Christmas. That's the Son of God, not the Christmas tree, not the present, but the greatest present ever given to us, Jesus, that we're celebrating and worshiping at this time of year. Amen? He says he's a wonderful, he's a counselor, he's a mighty God. Now, I like this one. He is an everlasting Father. I'm glad he isn't going to give up on me. Look at the person beside you and say, he ain't giving up on you. I'm glad God's not giving up on us. I'm glad he is an everlasting Father. It means from the beginning to the end, never quits, never gives up, never grows tired. I don't know about y'all, but sometimes I want to quit. Have y'all seen these new ads that are coming on? Because some of the hottest real estate in the world going on right now is the country of Belize. And they have buy Belize, they show all this deal. I want to. I want it. I want to buy a piece. I want to sell my house, move to the island. Me, I want to walk around a pair of shorts the rest of my life. Old baggy t-shirt. No shoes, just walk through the sand. Eat whatever I catch out there in the ocean. Go back to my little hut. Play my guitar. Ukulele, maybe. No cell phone. Hello? Do y'all have those kind of crazy dreams? Do you? I mean, show me your hands if y'all ever thought like that before. Okay. So I'm not insane. But you see, I see it. I look at it because you just want to escape everything going on around you and get away from all the issues of life and just go in there. But I'm glad to know that he's an everlasting Father, that he never gives up on me. That he didn't quit. That he's not going to just finally one day say, man, Jesus, I've done everything I can for him. Just let him go. That didn't happen to you. When you don't believe in yourself, God still believes in you. When everyone else has given up on you, he hasn't. You can take confidence today to know that no matter how you think about yourself, God's not going to give up on you. Wow. He's not giving up on you. He's an everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. How many of y'all, I do like peace. Y'all with me? And he's the Prince of it. The Prince of Peace. That means Jesus can come into your life, and since he's the Prince of it, he knows how to do it. He can bring peace in your life if you'll just listen to him. He can come into your life and walk through the door of your heart, if you'd open it, and sit down and bring about peace when there's been nothing but a storm. When Jesus, I'm always amazed at the story, and it's in the Gospels, in Matthew and the Gospels, where he's crossing the sea, and he's on the ship, and it's being tossed by the sea. The disciples are bailing water. Man, they're trying to get a sink. They think they're going to sink, man. They've already determined, they're all fishermen. They know about fishing, and know about boats, and know about storms. And they've determined they're going to sink and die. And finally, somebody says, why don't we go wake him up? He's on the back of the boat on a pillow asleep. Well, I mean, these guys were professional fishermen. So it must have been a pretty rough storm But yet Jesus was asleep through it all. They wake him up and say, we're perishing. We're dying. The boat's going to sink any minute. Don't you care? And you just kind of see Jesus raise up and say, man, what's the matter with you guys? You don't have any faith at all. Woke me up from asleep for this. Walks to the front of the boat and said, peace, be still. Why is the Prince of Peace? You don't think that at a moment, at a second of the storms that go on in life, that the Prince of Peace can't step up? All you got to do is get him in the middle of the situation. That's all you got to do is get Jesus in the middle of the situation and peace will come. Now, I want to tell y'all something. Excuse me. It's amazing going on in the world today that you people are so dangerous. But if you listen to the news, okay, all of a sudden it seems that no one's really scared of the Muslims. Nobody's really scared of the Buddhists. Nobody's scared of the Hindus. Nobody's scared of any of those things. They're all scared of a Christian who wants to believe in Jesus and stand by what the Bible says is the truth. Oh, my God. You got to get these guys shut up. You got to get this put down. I want to tell you something. There's only one reason for that. It's because the Prince of Darkness really knows that the Prince of Peace is on the job. And when he's moving, he's going to get defeated. I take it as nothing but a sign of the time when Christians are pushed aside, when nobody wants to listen to a Christian about what we think is right, what we believe, and what the Bible tells is truth. It's just always been the rise of the time. Just be glad they're not feeding us to lions right now. Because that's where we came from. But you know, in this season, listen to me. Just don't let the distractions of life, don't let the craziness of life. Don't let the humdrum of life. Don't let the things of life get in your way and miss this wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, coming into your life, setting everything in order and putting everything in its place. Amen. Lord, can I get you guys all to come back up here and play? Is that possible? I want y'all to sing another. I want you to sing another Christmas song. Well, I like Oh Holy Night. That's my song. And I think we need it one more time. Let's stand up. And as we sing this song, and we sing, Oh Holy Night. Whatever may be going on with you, whatever may be a concern of yours right now this morning. Well, look, cast it aside. Get the Prince of Peace in the middle of it. Ask Jesus to come and invade that space of your life. Amen? Laura, sing it for us.
Yeah.
Now, I want to ask my prayer team, the pastoral team, if y'all can come down here this morning. Church, if you're here this morning and you want prayer, we're here for you. I believe that wonderful God, that mighty God, that wonderful counselor has got an answer for you this morning. Don't leave the building today discouraged or disheartened. But let this wonderful Jesus touch your life. And I just want to tell you, church, make this the greatest Christmas ever in your lives. You know, that old uncle you've been arguing with, or that old whatever, get over it. Forgive him. Just find some way in your heart to let the Prince of Peace come in the middle of it. You can always take hope, because Jesus can fix stupid. And just let your time be in your family be a great time. And enjoy life. Bless people. Be an encouragement. Amen. Now take the person's hand next to you, and I'm going to pray over all of you. And then we're here if you need prayer. Father, I pray over every person here today. I just ask you to just move in their lives. Lord, we set our agreement. We want the Prince of Peace in our lives. Lord, we want that everlasting joy in our lives. We want you, Jesus, in our lives. So right now, Lord, we just call upon you and say, Jesus, come into our lives. Holy Spirit, fill us this season. And let us be instruments of peace. Instruments of blessings to everyone in this world, everyone we come across. And so, Lord, we praise you for it. We thank you for it. And, Lord, I just declare the greatest days are ahead of us, and the blessings of God are upon us. We thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. God bless you, church. We're here for you. If you need prayer, come on up and get prayer. Let Jesus touch your life.